Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
I did something over the weekend that I never, ever have done. I was talking to my wife about this. So there was all the playoffs, there was all the baseball, and I watched enough of it. I watched the Preakness because the rain and the mud, and I was worried of a horse stepping in a hole and having to be put down on television. I watched Mad Men yesterday for about all the way up until 11 o'clock last night. It was around 1 o'clock yesterday afternoon that it just started. Like, the Diamondbacks were having a tough day at Philly. The playoff game, I was going back and forth on it, but the Clippers looked like they wanted to go home. They didn't want any part of it. And so, like many people, I don't know if it was millions, I haven't seen the number yet today, but it seemed to me last night it was between a Game of Thrones and Mad Men. And so I'm watching Mad Men for hour after hour. It's a beautiful day. I should be outside. I should be enjoying life. I never, ever do this. And then by last night at 11 o'clock, I was just done. I was trying to hang in there for the final episode. Don Draper writes a Coca-Cola commercial, and that's it. I stayed up for that? So I was a little crabby this morning, but there's a lot going on today. I'm very, very pleased that we're having in studio Christian Kirk and Kyle Allen, two former great high school players within our state that are now both at Texas A&M. And oh, by the way, Texas A&M opens with Arizona State on the football field, and Kyle Allen is going to be the starting quarterback. It's fine for me to say that, right, Eric? They brought in all these quarterbacks, and the guy from here at Desert Mountain High School, he's still the guy.
He is. I mean, he was the MVP of the Liberty Bowl, so yeah, I guess
who wouldn't want to be the MVP of the Liberty Bowl?
I mean, Kevin Sumlin is crazy, so he might just start this true freshman, but no, I doubt it. It's not going to happen.
All right. So, and Christian Kirk is going to play a lot for Texas A&M this year. I would have to think that those two would know a lot of players on ASU's roster, and so both are going to be in studio in the 11 o'clock hour. And we do a lot of college football here. We are Arizona-centric, things that we see that are a little different than what everybody else does. And we have our fun as well. Paula Bovin, News and Notes, AZ Central sports columnist, more importantly, my friend, is going to be joining us on the show today. That'll come up at 10:35. Let's get you caught up some things on my mind in the world of sports to get us off and running here on a Monday, brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top. In the beautiful White Mountains, it is coming. It's this Friday night, the Rod Stewart Tribute Concert. Who would not want to be there this Friday night in the Conference Center? Tickets are just $10 each. There's a $79 room package that includes two tickets. Doors open at 7. You can rock out to the tunes, do a little bit of head bob in there. Crank it on up, Jared. Come on, man. Let's get it. It's Monday. Give people something to look forward to at the Honda Resort and Casino. You can pull down on that slot, all the guys that have all the luck. Then you can head on over after eating some great food at the Honda Resort and Casino. Doors open at 7, show starts at 8. The Rod Stewart Tribute this Friday in the Conference Center. Again, tickets just $10. And then June 6th and 7th, you can make your plans for the 18th annual Powwow in the Pines. That's June 6th and 7th, Powwow in the Pines, Honda Festival Grounds. That's at the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. Wherever you're listening and taking the show in around the state, around the country, that's the Honda Resort and Casino, the place to be in northeastern Arizona. I'm going to get to the Diamondbacks in a minute. I was caught up in the Preakness in a big way. So Saturday, it's raining. And for those of you that aren't aware of the name Bob Baffert, you can give me, it's pretty easy to go through all of the best football players, the best baseball players, the best basketball players in the history of Arizona sports. But if you're really doing a sports show in Arizona and you don't mention Bob Baffert and you don't see the hundreds of thousands of horsemen in this state, I think you're kind of not in touch. And in fact, I know you're not. 11 Triple Crown victories, and Bob Baffert over the weekend with American Pharoah ends up winning. He went to the U of A. He's a U of A graduate. He was born in Nogales. This is the Super Bowl of Super Bowls, the Triple Crown. He's now 2 into it, and it's an Arizona guy that's leading the way in Bob Baffert. You know, Silver Charm and War Emblem, among others. But as I'm watching the race on Saturday, It rained hard here on Friday night. It rained really hard. I had to go to the airport late Friday night, pick up my daughter, and it was hard to get around traffic. The freeways were a mess. It rained even harder than that at the Preakness. Now, I have to believe that these people in this day and age would have radar. I don't know. Hey, guys, it's going to rain a little bit. Is there a tarp for the track? They evacuated the infield from all the drunks that show up to be at horse races. But they still ran this race on time. Corey Nakatomi, one of the jockeys, said afterwards, "It was ideal conditions if I was riding a dolphin." I love that quote. How could you not love that quote? So in the rain, American Pharoah wins over the weekend. And again, I'm looking at the conditions of how bad it was there at Pimlico. You need a rowboat to get through this. And it's gripping. It's like watching football in the snow. And so for those that say jockeys aren't athletes and horse racing isn't about athletic competition, maybe you need to look at it a little differently, that they'll run in any conditions at all. And the ratings were huge, and now we have a triple crown possibility with the guy from Arizona that's leading it all. Love that story. The Diamondbacks. So it is overreaction Monday on some fronts, I think, on this, based on what I'm seeing on social media today, that the sky is falling after being swept by Philadelphia. There's no question the players know that there's concern. Otherwise, they wouldn't do what they did after yesterday's game. Josh Colemanter, who started yesterday's game, said that they had a big group hug. They hugged it out and moved on to Miami. Game ends, pitchers all get together, they have a group hug. So now they're going from there down to South Beach. Miami must not have much figured out because they have fired their manager and replaced him with the general manager, who has not managed since he was a high school coach. I'm not making this stuff up. The owner of the Marlins has fired five of his managers in season. If you take the job in Miami, you're going to get your ticket punched. In fact, they're still paying three managers. There's three guys on their payroll they're still paying that aren't even there managing. And so the Diamondbacks are there tonight. And Ruby's thrown tonight. And I'm very, very happy with how Ruby De La Rosa's pitched. He's actually going against former Diamondback Dan Heron. Both of them are 4-2. It's been a rough stretch. There's no question about it. I like the fact that Tony La Russa decided that it's time for him to weigh in on some things. You know, I've said this all along. They're going to win 84 games. And again, this morning, my email, my box is full of, where are you at in your prediction now, smart guy? It's fine. I'm glad you start your week out wanting to remind me of my prediction of 84 wins. It's fine. Just as simply as they've struggled here as of late, I still believe that they can get this thing turned in the right direction and be around 500 or a little bit more than that as the season moves through. There's some things that La Russa decided to finally weigh in on, and I like this. Tony La Russa, I don't see anything that is atypical for first half of the season. You see what guys are doing and what they're doing right, what mistakes they're making, and then you repeat the good and fix. I just think there isn't anything we're doing that's not fixable. The talent's here. The competitiveness is here. It's just learning and making adjustments. When you have a young team and you have a Hall of Fame guy, I have to defer to the Hall of Fame guy rather than the guy that wants to remind me of my 84-win prediction. Now, Nick Ahmed, Tony weighed in on Nick Ahmed, who's hitting 165, and I like this. Ahmed, an outstanding defender, entered Sunday hitting .165. He continues to work with hitting coach Turner Ward and assistant hitting coach Mark Grace. Tony La Russa, Hall of Fame manager, feeling like it's time to weigh in on him as he's running the Diamondbacks. Quote, "I think Ahmed is making a real positive effort with Turner and Mark to build a stroke that he can repeat. That's going to make him an offensive plus. We believe in him because we know the talent, we know the work ethic, but you don't just flip the switch. He's making adjustments and he'll continue to adjust." Sounds very much like La Russa is in the corner still of Nick Ahmed. That has been the hot button for a lot of fans to bring up. When someone's hitting 165, you bring it up. And for La Russa to step up and say, hey, you know, let's see how this will play itself out. I'm not going to sit here in the middle of May, on May 18th, and say, these four games in Miami are must win, have to win, because teams go through peaks and valleys. This is a young team that has struggled here in the last week. But I do believe that as they go through these four games where you're catching Miami, Miami could do one of two things here. Miami could be one of those teams that says, we're done. We have our GM who's coming down here. Are we going to run through walls for him? Or our owner who punched another ticket's manager? Are we going to run through walls on that front? The Diamondbacks, as I mentioned last week, are in a long stretch of games away from home. Could be a good thing for them. They announced Friday that Addison Reed is no longer the closer, at least for now. I'm fine with this. Take some of the pressure off of him. There's nothing that they've done that I sit here and say, boy, I don't get it. I don't know. I have to defer to a Hall of Fame guy. I do. So that's where I'm at on the Diamondbacks. There's some things around the NBA I'm going to get to later on in this hour. Also, Peter King talked to Bob Kraft. Of course, Peter King with us every week here on Sports360AZ.com, the Monday morning quarterback all around the NFL. He finally got Bob Kraft to open up. So we'll hear from Peter on the other side. So let's step aside here. Some things that are going on in the middle of the day. It was yoga day at a Dodger game yesterday. Of course it was. To weigh in on that. The Stanford ban has been suspended. Sean Miller just lost one of his key assistant coaches right before the show started. And James Harden comes alive. So a lot of Arizona angles around all these sports teams. Sports360AZ.com. AZ Central Sports, we partner with the Arizona Republic. Paula Bovin in about 15 minutes. And in studio today, Kyle Allen, starting quarterback for Texas A&M from Desert Mountain High School here in Scottsdale. And Christian Kirk, star player from Saguaro High, player of the year. He's going to Texas A&M as well. Dynamic duo taking on ASU. In September, they're both back from school. We'll talk with them in studio. I'm Brad Sussmat.
Like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros. Facebook.com/Sports360AZ.
So this is going to be a really interesting week in the NFL. The owners' meetings are in San Francisco starting tomorrow. Peter King will join us later in the week. Peter is with us every week, the Monday morning quarterback, part of what we do here at Sports360AZ.com. Peter is the first one to get to Bob Kraft, the owner of the Patriots, about what happened with Deflategate. And tomorrow, Bob Kraft is going to show up at these meetings in San Francisco for the very first time since all of this became public. And the relationship between he and Roger Goodell has been one that has been scrutinized over and over and over about, is it damaged? Is it hurt? And all of that. Here's Peter earlier on how would you describe Kraft during your conversation? Peter talked with him for about 50 minutes on Saturday.
He was defiant. As I wrote, he was curt. He's hardly ever curt. He's usually, even when things don't quite go his way or after even a bitter loss, he is able to be somewhat philosophical and put things into perspective. But here, he's angry, defiant, and I think he's still trying to calculate what his next step should be.
Asked about his current relationship with Commissioner Goodell, Kraft told Peter King, quote, you'll have to ask him. He would not say anything further on that. That doesn't sound too good. That sounds a little frosty. Asked whether he might violate NFL bylaws by going to court, and we'd raised this with Peter when this first broke, that my view has been this will all end up going through the legal process. There's not a chance when you take Tom Brady, the front page, biggest name within your sport, and an organization as well regarded with as many Super Bowl titles as the Patriots, and to think that there would not be a litigious side to this, you'd have to be kidding yourselves, absolutely kidding yourselves. So asked whether he might violate NFL bylaws by going to court to try to get the league penalties overturned, Kraft says, I'm not going to comment on that at this time. I'm going to leave it. I won't say. Continuing Kraft to Peter King in the MMQB. And I want to have Peter on today about this because there's some other stuff coming up this week that I think was going to be very interesting to weigh in on as well. So we'll do it later in the week. Quote, I just got really worked up, Kraft said. To receive the harshest penalty in league history is just not fair. The anger and frustration with the process, to me, it wasn't fair. If we're giving all the power to the NFL in the office of the commissioner, this is something that can happen to all 32 teams. So here's Bob Kraft saying, hey, the 31 of you, you should look at it from my point of view. This could be you. Though I don't think anybody in Jacksonville is going to get all worked up about this the way that it happened to the Patriots. Bob Kraft said, quote, we need to have fair and balanced investigating and reporting. But in this report, every inference went against us. Inferences from ambiguous circumstantial evidence all went against us. That's the thing that really bothers me. And here's his most damning quote, I think. If they want to penalize us because there's an aroma around this, that's what this feels like. If you don't have the so-called smoking gun, it really is frustrating, and they don't have it. This thing never should have risen to this level. So you're going to have tomorrow in San Francisco, which was supposed to be an owner's meeting with, hey, we have the Super Bowl that's going to be here in February. Isn't this great? Isn't this exciting? By the way, we're going to tinker with rules, a big rules change in the way of scoring points by having a two-point conversion. Big change for the first time since, I think, 1919. Okay, so something of real substance. Instead, it's going to be, there's Bob Kraft on this side of the room, and there's Roger Goodell on this side of the room, and let's give them each a sword and let them go after one another and sword fight it out. Let's give them pistols and tell them to turn their backs and go 20 paces and then turn around and fire at each other. Goodell has said now he's going to hear the appeal of Tom Brady. I don't think he's in a win situation here, because if he reduces the penalty, then he looks like, well, I didn't really know what I was doing because it was my decision. If he stands firm, then I think he looks rigid on this and see, I told you so, and that's why I put myself in charge. So is he in a win situation on this? And now we've talked about this for 3 weeks. Like, the draft has kind of moved on. The Cardinals this week have OTAs, and everything I see is about Brady and the Patriots and the cheating Patriots, or they've been too hard on us Patriots. There is one story, though, of substance that I am going to be curious to see how it plays out at the owners' meetings, away from Goodell and Kraft. Now, will the two of them stand together shoulder to shoulder and say all is well? I don't think anybody's going to buy that. Is there going to be shots fired from both sides as this next 48 hours moves on? Could be. In terms of substance, for you, the fan that's like, Brad, I'm done with this. I'm done with Brady. I'm done with Goodell. I'm done with Kraft. The owners are going to discuss tomorrow afternoon at the spring meetings the prospect of moving the line of scrimmage for the point after from the 2 to the 15. Okay, that's a big change from the 2-yard line to the 15. We went through three different scenarios that could take place if, in fact, they do this. One of them would be to put a two-point conversion and move it all the way down to the 1-yard line. But I think there's many factors for this. Peter also laid out, and I don't know, Eric, when you watch NFL games, do you notice it like I notice it? Touchdown gets scored. Point after, they have to run guys out on the field. They have to set up for the extra point, which is 1 point. They take a commercial break. They come back. They do the kickoff. And then they take another break.
And don't forget that all scoring plays are reviewed.
And all scoring plays are reviewed. So Peter timed it out just from some stuff over the weekend, and it was 4.5 to 5 minutes of dead time. So is the league going to look at this and say, you know, if we do a two-point conversion, increases the chance of scoring, guys, you may want to be looking at the strategy towards the end of a game because now there's an extra point that is involved. If they move it back to the 15 and just kick the 1 point, does it take longer to get set up? I don't know. A kicker's got to take his steps back to get it right. Blocking assignments change. It's like a short field goal versus just what it is, an extra point.
The first thing I think about when you talk about all these tinkering is how will Vegas adjust? Because if the extra point's a little bit longer, and I know NFL kickers are as close to automatic as you can get, but two-point conversions, lines moving, things like that, I don't know, that's just the first thing that I think about if they tweak some of these NFL rules.
The other thing I think about is we know that at some point, because there's just been too many people associated with the game that have brought this up, that the kickoffs as we know them are going to be taken away because of the concussion issue. At some point, it's going to be, let's spot the ball at the 20 and let's move on. If the angle is that it takes a long time, 4 to 5 minutes in between plays of substance, in order to get the rhythm of the game back in place. Do fans want to sit there for those 4 or 5 minutes? Or do they turn right back around, just go spot the ball at the 20 and say, first down, let's go? Kickoffs, you got to line everybody up. What if the kickoff is out of bounds? There's another minute. There's another 2 minutes. I mean, they can justify this, but it's a simple way of eventually saying, we're just going to get rid of the big hits on the kickoffs because of the concussion thing. And so you have to factor all those things in as well.
And most of the kickoffs are touchbacks anyway, like you said.
So. Right, right. So
what's, there's really, I mean, you get, I think actually because players are so apt to try to bring the ball out even when they're 9 yards deep in the end zone, makes the concussion thing even more probable because the gunners are having even more time. I mean, the head-on collisions are even more violent.
But a lot of these changes that they're talking about, yeah, Vegas would certainly look at it and say, okay, do they have a strong 2-point attempt versus do they have a kicker?
Yep.
What's our guy Fabiano going to say about this?
Ah, good point.
You know, do you start picking up guys because if you've got that fullback, you've got that big running back versus it's kind of like, no, I won't use him as an example. That would be a bad example. It's kind of like, well, Andre Ellington. I'll use Andre Ellington as an example. Mm-hmm. Let's say you're the Cardinals and you want to go for 2 points, but you have Andre Ellington as your running back. You don't have that big bruising guy, right? Chances are pretty good you're going to want to go with the kicker. And again, we're just talking on the fantasy side of things. And the kicker here has been very good. But I think that while this story, they're going to try to push the 2-point conversion out there and move it away from Kraft versus Goodell. This is a very important time for the league. If Kraft decides, I'm going back to this because to put a bow on it. If Kraft decides, you know what, I'm going to go do what I do and I've got other owners that are going to be on my side and they can't have this happen to them as what's happened to me. When he brings up, this is something that can happen to all 32 teams, and he brings it up to Peter, who puts it in MMQB. That's his way of saying, guys, you better support me on this because you don't want this to happen to you too. This segment of the show brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. My Santan Ford experience over the weekend is like this. I told you about a certified pre-owned vehicle that I bought my wife. Certified pre-owned, low on miles, manageable for our payment. Something that we were looking at that made a lot of sense for us. My wife had a lot of miles on her Expedition. Got her into an Explorer, 2014 Explorer. On Friday night, my daughter had her flight home from Chicago for the summer from college. Went down to the airport to pick her up, and it was storming. It was storming really, really bad. She had lots of luggage that she was bringing home with her. So we took the Explorer down to Sky Harbor, over to Terminal 2. It's like, I don't know, almost midnight. And she comes rolling out looking half asleep from her flight from Chicago to Dallas to Phoenix. And we go pick up her luggage and we walk out to the vehicle and she had not seen it since Chris, my wife, had the Explorer. She's like, oh, this is great. This is nice. She gets in there, puts her seat back. She's out. All of her luggage is in there. We go home comfortable, safe, very good to drive in a total downpour on Friday night. So I can recite my Santan Ford experiences to you. I don't need some script here. And let me tell you about this and that. That's not how it works. It's my life experience. That's what a vehicle should be like for you. From Santan Ford, just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. General Manager Tim Hovick and company. They do it upright. By the way, over on sports360az.com right now, we put up a story over the weekend that has done quite a few of you have been interested in it. I don't often take our site and say, let's go focus on somebody and do it haphazardly. And we've had quite a bit of feedback on what a great piece this is. Freshman running back in high school, several coaches, not just at Hamilton High, have said best running back that has come along in a long, long time. So we put it up on the site. You may want to check it out. This is a player that I think it's kind of like when we did Barcelo in basketball last year, or I did Jared Bayless back in the day. You see somebody who's coming, and you put up some video, and you hear from the young man himself. You can check it out up on our site right now at sports360az.com. In about a half hour in studio, Christian Kirk and Kyle Allen all around Texas A&M and Arizona State. Kyle, of course, former Desert Mountain High starting quarterback and now the starter for Texas A&M. Christian Kirk will be a stud wide receiver for the Aggies this year. He'll join us, both of them, in studio. Paula Bovin, though, is next. News and notes, all things around the world of sports in Arizona. That is on the other side. I'm Brad Sussmat.
Giving you the inside slant on the weekend's biggest stories. It's time for News and Notes with AZ Central sports columnist Paula Bovin. Here again, Brad Sussmat.
My friend Paula Bovin joins us now for a couple of minutes. Monday, Sports 360, AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. We partner with the Arizona Republic and, of course, the columnist Paula Bovin. How are you? You've been under the weather, huh?
I have been. I felt like I was on the DL for about 2 weeks, but yeah. I am out of the hospital. I am home.
Hospital?
And
wait,
happy.
Whoa. Hospital? What? What?
I have this awful thing, as you're very familiar with, I'm sure, called diabetes, and it got bad, and I got a virus, and it made me really sick, and because my blood sugar numbers were so high, I wound up in the hospital for 4 days.
Wow.
Yeah, it was not good, but it was a good little kick in the butt to take better care of myself, so.
Really?
It's all about me now, Brad. I'm putting myself first.
It's good talking to you. Talk to you later.
Okay.
Wow. So this was pretty serious.
Yeah, it was scary. It was, you know, to the point where I told my husband, take me to the ER now because I don't feel well. Mm. I knew something was wrong. And then when I got to the ER, the doctor took my numbers and said, you know, I'm this close to admitting you into intensive care because my numbers were so bad, but he said, talking to you, I can tell you're of right mind or whatever. But yeah, they were concerned. So sorry to bore you with all the details,
no.
But I feel tons better now.
No. I'm naive on this. Did you just let things get away from you? Were you just not taking care of yourself? Is that simple?
Yeah,
as that?
It was a combination of a couple things. I had picked up some weird virus, so I was getting very sick to my stomach, spare you the details, for 2 days. And so that combined with the fact that I was not taking care of myself. I had been good for a while. You know, you have to really stay on top of how you eat when you have blood sugar issues, when you're diabetic, and you have to take your medication. And I, for a couple months, kind of lost my mind and wasn't doing either of those things. And so the combination of all that put me into the state that I was in.
Yeah. Well, you travel.
Yes.
And the business that we are in is not one that's conducive for eating well at times. It's just not.
No, it's not. But you just have to take ownership, you know. You just have to. For diabetics, it's all about looking at carb amounts in food. It's, you know, and if you control that, you can control your health.
All right. Well, we'll keep you in line over here.
That's, all right. I appreciate that.
That's the way it is. When you come in and do the show or something, we're not going to give you candy bars anymore. That's just
no big plates of pasta or bread, all that good stuff.
All right, fine. All right. Paula Bovin, News and Notes, AZ Central Sports columnist. Bob Baffert wins the Preakness and with American Pharoah, and he's a U of A graduate.
Right.
He has 11 Triple Crown victories. And on this Monday, very few people have brought that to point that it's, you know, it's Cardinals doing OTAs, which it's May, it's football, and it's not really football. It's just guys kind of moving around.
Right.
I think he's kind of gotten lost here in terms of the magnitude of the man within our state. If we're talking about great athletes who've made an impact, he was born in Nogales, U of A grad. They win again over the weekend. Have you ever talked with him? Have you ever done much? Because I know it's a big horse state. And I'm starting with something random, but I'm just feeling like he's not gotten his due.
No, you know, it's so interesting. In the realm of the horse racing world, those who follow it closely, you know, he's very much celebrated. And I love how he's been sporting the UA cap a lot when he does interviews. So I think the Wildcats must like that. But, you know, my husband for years worked in the horse racing business as far as covering stories and things like that. So we've always been interested here. And I'm really impressed. You know, to do it, to win one of those races, and then, you know, to have the opportunity now to go for the Triple Crown again, it's pretty spectacular that when you're able to identify the right horses and surround those horses with the right trainers and then pick the right jockeys and all the other things that kind of go into it, he deserves to be celebrated because it's very, very hard to get to that level.
Let's switch the gears over to the baseball team. Tony La Russa felt the need to weigh in over the weekend, and I'm very happy with what he said. I'm quoting here, "I just think there isn't anything we're doing that's not fixable. The talent's here and the competitiveness is here. It's just learning and making adjustments." I sensed here in about the last week since the Grand Slam loss to the Nationals that there is a, okay, here it goes. Here's what everybody's expecting. I'm more along the lines of tap the brakes a little bit. If the Hall of Fame guy is weighing in saying, let's not panic here, that's the right way to go. What about you?
Oh, I'm a little bit more the other way. I just think it, you know, I think it's really hard for fans when they, you know, there was optimism at the beginning of the season with those, what, 8 wins, I think, in 15 games, and now they're 7-14. The thing that's just getting me is that what the pitching has done or hasn't done during the course of that bad stretch. I want to feel optimistic for this community because I think, especially during the summer here, it'd be so fun for fans to have a team they can embrace right now, but it's just hard to get behind. And, you know, I mean, when those words come from Tony La Russa, you're right. You need to be a little bit patient, but it's, you know, they're heading on down that road of irrelevance again, and that's not a good place for them to be.
I would say, though, that, like, Goldschmidt is having an MVP season, but he's in Arizona, so very few people nationally realize what's going on with him.
Right.
I think Trumbo's given them more than what I think Trumbo, in talking with him before the start of the season, I think he put the pressure on himself because he knew he didn't have a good year last year, quite frankly. I mean, he was hurt, and he didn't play up to his expectations, so I'm fine with where they are on that. The fact that the pitchers had a group hug, as they put it yesterday,
right.
I think that's funny.
Sure.
Not that you want to make light of or ignore a situation, but I think that they're not as bad as some are making them out to be. And I actually think that where they are, a quick 3-4 game win streak all of a sudden, and we're only in mid-May.
I know.
I don't see this spiraling into an 11, 15, 20 game behind 500 year like we've seen in years past. I mean, smack me over the head, but that's just how I see it.
No, I mean, it's clearly too early to panic. I mean, people obviously have just, you know, it's like post-traumatic stress with this team, or they've seen this happen before and they're expecting kind of the same result. But, you know, I agree with you. It's early. I need to see more from that pitching. Even the offense has been disappointing at times. I think they've 7 games, they've scored like 1 run or 0 runs. It's just, you need to see an overall improvement. So I'll give them time, but I'm a little bit negative Nelly about this right now.
Where are you at on Bob Kraft? So Peter King spoke with Bob Kraft yesterday. The NFL meetings are in San Francisco tomorrow. Roger Goodell has been just barbecued. Sally Jenkins wrote that he grew up in a town car. That he's a lifelong intern. Just filleting him, laying him open. And Bob Kraft turns around and says to Peter King, this is something that can happen to all 32 teams. Like, hey, guys, you better side with me and wake up. They're wrong on this. Paula, I think that while the league meetings tomorrow in San Francisco should be about the Super Bowl and maybe a 2-point adjustment, it's going to be all about Kraft and Goodell. But beyond that, I feel like the league is in a pretty interesting teetering time. They're going to say, well, our TV ratings are always great in September. I don't know if you start splintering owners and having things not go the right way. Kraft sits on 5 major competition committee positions. I'm just curious, what do you see on all of this as it's unfolded?
Well, you know, the whole thing with the NFL, it's a monster, and there's going to be, you know, people are going to shift their opinions on Tom Brady, or they're going to shift their opinions on the state of the league, but it's always going to be fine. There are going to be new heroes and new quarterbacks and different players and everything else. But as far as sort of the integrity of the league, I mean, and, you know, Kraft as an owner and, you know, this could happen to anyone, I'm not surprised by those comments. People that get into the position that he gets into are type A type personalities that I don't even know and understand and can embrace. And he believes what he believes, and he feels strongly about his opinion, and it, you know, he wants to set a tone for his team and everything else. But I don't think the health of the NFL is in any kind of danger, because we always find sort of new heroes and new people to look up toward and everything else.
Anything else going on that you see?
This whole where the Suns go with the draft thing is kind of intriguing me. 13th pick again, 3 times in 5 years. What does that sort of say about the organization? They're kind of stuck in a spin cycle right now. But I'm curious, where are they going to go with their pick? You know, are they going to go with the shooter, or they're going to go with a big guy like Kaminsky? I don't know. That interests me.
They're in a spot where the lottery's tomorrow night, and
right.
in all likelihood, they're going to end up at 13 again.
Right.
And so they're stuck in that regard. There's not much they can do. In order for them to move this forward, they have to get to a point of, let's take some of these assets that we've been sitting on and sitting on and sitting on, and now let's move some of these assets. Otherwise, the offseason looks very much like, can we re-sign Brandon Knight, who's a restricted free agent? And what are we going to have in the 13th pick? And that's really about it.
Right.
You know, we have space to go pursue players, but LaMarcus Aldridge's people aren't giving any indication that Phoenix is a place that they're interested in going to.
Right.
That's just a fact.
No, you know,
it sounds
true.
Like San Antonio is the destination for him if he decides to move. So I don't see where they have a whole lot of options here other than they have to look within and
right.
say, let's take what we have and let's go make some moves.
And this is another sort of facet of this, you know, Lon Babbie and McDonough sort of relationship of, what are they going to do? I want to measure them now on what they do with the players they already have and if they're moving them. You know, we've talked about how they draft and some of the choices that they've made, and they've failed, I think, in some ways of putting together a team with chemistry, things like that. But here's another way to measure them and what they can do with some of the players on their roster and if they're going to make some movement.
Yeah, I mean, hammering any team over the head repeatedly just doesn't bring anything in the way of change. So look at internally, let's see what you have, and show us what you have. Because I think fans want to jump all over them in a way of embracing them. We see what's going on up in Golden State, and I know the same thing can happen here in Phoenix. So
yep. You have to make some good decisions. Obviously, having a Steph Curry or a player like that on your roster helps, but you build teams by making great personnel decisions, and they need to show that still.
All right. Stay well. I'll bring you a kale salad or something.
All right. Thanks, Brad.
There you go. It's Paula Bovin. News and notes, AZ Central sports columnist, my friend. Appreciate Paula jumping on for a few minutes. On the other side, I've not gotten into the NBA playoffs. Do we have a picture of yoga mat day, Eric? Is that something that we're efforting? Or I saw this story.
Oh, you're serious. You really do want to talk about this.
I saw this story that, well, it may be something for Derek Hall. I don't know. Baseball teams, I mean, we are the inventor of the churro dog here in Arizona.
Let's see what my good friend Google can come up
with.
Yeah,
well, on the other side, we may jump into that. Also, the Stanford band got suspended. There's some stuff that's fun, but do you blame Blake Griffin, and do you blame Chris Paul, and do you blame Doc Rivers? One of the biggest collapses you will ever see in sports happened with the Clippers over the weekend. The Clippers looked very much like the Clippers I grew up watching in San Diego over the weekend. We'll get to that on the other side and much more. In about 10 minutes in studio, Kyle Allen and Christian Kirk, dynamic duo, quarterback, wide receiver, formerly at Desert Mountain High School and Saguaro High School, now the starters, starter at quarterback with Kyle Allen. For Texas A&M, when they play Arizona State, they're both back in the Valley. They're in studio in about 15 minutes. So after the NBA weekend, we are left with Houston at Golden State tomorrow night, Cleveland at Atlanta on Wednesday night. There's some news around the Clippers that may benefit the Suns in the way of a player, and I'm going to get to that here in a minute. But first, let me just go back on the absolute collapse. There's no other way to put it. You are up 3-1 or 3-2, and you are up 18 at the end of the third quarter. 18! And you can't find a way to close out. And now you give up, if you're the Clippers, and now you go into a game 7 at Houston. And yesterday, the Rockets decided to work it inside to Dwight Howard over and over and over.
In the fourth quarter, comes around a double high screen, turns a corner baseline, into Howard, fouled, and he somehow threw it up and in! Crawford with the bear hug, but Dwight, too strong, and one, coming up on the lead, is 19!
Now, we've been critical of Dwight Howard, and I think rightly so. There's been nothing unfair about it. There's been times where he's disappeared here in the playoffs, but yesterday, big boys come to play, and Trevor Ariza from downtown, Trevor Ariza's been terrific for Houston this year.
Through the lane, no looks at left-hand corner. Ariza for three, got it! Trevor Ariza puts his team up 11! Timeout, Clippers, and that might be the dagger!
Houston wins, Clippers go 113-100. Here is Doc Rivers after the game and what happened.
You can see it from the outset with some of the turnovers. Our guys wanted to win so bad, they were trying to do it all on their own, each guy. And, you know, you're in one way, obviously, you want that. And another way, you know that can't win for you. And I thought that did us in.
So here's some things that are coming out of this. After you lose by that magnitude, and Doc Rivers is the coach and he is the general manager, there's nobody else to look at on this. You can easily point towards Blake Griffin and Chris Paul and make the leap that, well, they're the guys that are the star players, and if the star players don't get it done, it all falls on them. And I would say to you, I don't know, Matt Barnes is your starting small forward. He went 0-for-2 yesterday in a Game 7. Matt Barnes didn't do much of anything if you were to look at the numbers. Kevin McHale, you've got to give him a ton of credit, obviously. James Harden had 31. Here is James Harden after the win yesterday.
We were locked in, you know, just being down 3-1. You know, we just said one game at a time. You know, won one game, won game five, one game on the road. We've done it all year. One game six, and same thing, one game at home. You know, one game, take it at a time, take quarter by quarter, and we executed. We did a really good job each and every quarter, refocusing and making sure we go out there and execute.
That beard is so good. Could you imagine if we just decided to do that? You know, we weren't those hokey guys when he was over at Arizona State and said, let's try to grow some facial hair like James Harden. I'm sure in Oklahoma City and in Houston, there's probably the radio guy or the TV guy that said, we're behind you, James, and let's grow a beard and let's have some fun with that. I just don't get to talk enough about James Harden and how he was the kid with the shorts and the T-shirt and a backpack and was just the nicest, most unassuming kid you'd ever run across at ASU. And he's an MVP in the NBA.
Far better than I ever thought he'd
be. Oh, my gosh.
Far better. Yeah, he'll be a quality starter. He'll be a good player. He won't be a very good player, but he'll be a good player.
Yeah. Well, and look, I get it that there are guys that want to fill showtime by wondering, well, can he bounce back? Was he mad at Kevin McHale? If you think James Harden is one of these guys that's going to sit around and mope because he didn't play in Game 6, then you just don't know James Harden. That's ridiculous. It's beyond absurd. They're playing now with some momentum, and they've got some mojo, and they have Golden State. I don't know what's going to happen in that series. My inkling is Golden State with Steve Kerr. If the shots fall, they're going to win because they're not going to be able to stop Dwight Howard, but Dwight Howard can't make free throws.
And the best thing about the Rockets winning is maybe we don't ever have to see the Mario Elie kiss of death.
Oh yeah,
when the Suns were up 3-1 and let that thing slip away many, many years ago because they kept showing that over and over during the series.
Here's part of what is interesting on this from the Clippers' end. So today there's several reports in Los Angeles that DeAndre Jordan and Chris Paul had a falling out. And that DeAndre Jordan is now looking at his situation in L.A. and saying maybe it's time to move on. He is going to be a free agent. Now, if I'm the Phoenix Suns and if DeAndre Jordan is available, I have to strongly kick the tires on that one. I have
more
to,
than kick the tires. Oh, more than kick the tires.
Well, would he give them that immediate low post presence? Yes. Would he give them somebody that you could count on for that 10 to 12 boards a night? Yes. Would he be somebody alongside of Alex Len to take the pressure off Alex Len? Yes.
He would eliminate the layup line that we saw last year. Teams shot so many layups against the Suns. They need someone to protect the basket, and he would definitely fill that void.
Now, what would it take to convince him to come to Phoenix? So, yeah, you can throw dollars at him. Dollars is only going to take you so far. Okay. Is there anyone on the Suns that could recruit him? Well, did Bledsoe, when he was part of the Clippers, have a relationship with Jordan? I don't know that. But that's certainly something because players recruit players. Okay, that's just how it is. Would his style of play here flourish under Jeff Hornacek? I believe it would. The flip side of that is he struggles making free throws, and I'm being nice here. But from an interior presence standpoint, I would go that direct. I would look at DeAndre Jordan and make a run at him. This year's offseason crop is not like it's going to be next year when Durant is out there and others. But he's certainly somebody that if he does come available on the free agent market, I would like to see them make a push at him. Of course, there's nothing better over the weekend than yoga at a baseball game. There's a couple stories that I saw that were like, this didn't really happen. So the Dodgers had their game yesterday, and the Dodgers ended up having yoga. Do we have a picture of this? The yoga at the ballpark. This was not before the game. And I can imagine after the game is over, or while the game is going on, that the ladies doing yoga are like, please get the game over with. We have yoga that we need to do. There's a lot of food here that doesn't really benefit us in our yoga pants. All right? So that's some fun yesterday at the ballpark. I like that. I like that. The other story, and I don't think we have any pictures of this, but it's fine. The Stanford band has been banned from road sporting events for a year because of violations of school policy. The band denies that they've been suspended, but it's just purely an issue of semantics at this point. Now, the Stanford band is one of those bands, and that's why one of the reasons why I love college sports is you have bands that are there. They're great. Stanford band is a little bit like Stanford students, just a little bit of a different spin, different look on things. Not being critical. The band in 1986, during a game against the University of Washington, got a 2-game suspension because some members dropped their pants and urinated on the field while they're performing. Of course, that makes great sense. Turn around here and let's do our thing. The band has antagonized officials from other schools. In 1991 at Notre Dame, a band member dressed as a nun conducted the band using a crucifix as a baton. Of course they did. Perfect sense. BYU 2004, the band dancers wore wedding veils. I mean, it was just one thing after the next. An estimated $50,000 damage in 2006 for an off-campus trailer that the band moved into as a home. Kind of like had a road trip. So there's some stuff there that's kind of fun. And the Stanford band, if you go to any sporting event that involves Stanford, we see them here every year with ASU. They bring down the tree. They have all that stuff. It's great. When Eric and I are at Stanford, we have more fun up there than a lot of other places. It's very relaxed. When it's March Madness, I saw Stanford band at Portland this year. They're great, too. All right, on the other side, Christian Kirk and Kyle Allen are scheduled to be with us in hour number two. We'll talk with the two former high school stars now at Texas A&M. That's coming up next. Busy Monday, sports360az.com. That's our website. Plenty of content on sports360az.com, on the high school, college, pros, things we see around Arizona. A little bit different than what everyone else is doing. Back with hour number two next. Off we go at hour number two. Thanks for being with us. We're going to focus in on a couple of local guys making good. That's what we're all about here at sports360az.com on a Monday. Kyle Allen was over at Desert Mountain. Christian Kirk was at Saguaro. Both of them are at Texas A&M. Of course, the Aggies open up with Arizona State the first week of September. I think it's like 112 days or thereabouts. You guys count down to those, to this game, or is it just another game?
Yeah, we got a little we got TV in our locker room, big TV. Every game we got a countdown, but ASU's the first game, so he's had it up since like 220 days away.
Yeah, mm-hmm. A little extra for you?
Yeah, a little bit. I think so. I think for both of us, you know. I mean, they were recruiting both of us so hard, and when we didn't go there, it was kind of a little animosity towards both of us. So, you know, it's a little extra just to like put on for our state, but also just show that we can play other places.
Okay, so let's get to the bigger matter at hand as we get going here, and that is that you two are going to be roommates. Now, who's the slob between the two of you, and how is this going to work out? And how did this happen? First of all, I want to know, how is it that the two of you, and don't joke here, I don't want sugarcoating. You know, whenever you guys come on, I want you to get, who's the slob between the two of you? How's this going to work?
I'm gonna take credit on being a slob.
Yeah, by far.
Straight up.
Yeah? Now, when you say straight up slob, what does that entail?
I'm just not trying to hide it. Like, that's how it is.
How does this happen?
I don't know, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I guess I'm just a detail-oriented person. He's not.
Yeah, but
and I just like to be clean. I just like to keep my stuff clean. I like my room clean. I like my bathroom clean. Whenever I used to go over his house when I first got there, the bathroom was atrocious.
Yeah.
I shared a bathroom, so it's not
hair everywhere.
Hair everywhere.
Towels on the ground. In his room, you can't even walk.
Half the hair was you from when we got.
Yeah, you know, I would have, you know, I shaved my face.
I see. I see.
He did help me out on that part, but no, I do a good job cleaning up.
Well, you just were. You left Saguaro in December. You could have made a better choice. You know what I'm saying?
No.
I mean, you went from high school down there, and the first thing you do is you get together with him, and he's a slob. You know, you got the gun show going on here today, and you know, I'm feeling good about this, and this little, oh, by the way, we're roommates thing. I don't know. I'm just a little disappointed.
He got over the part that I was a slob just because I'm, like, the coolest kid there, so.
Is that how it works?
Yeah.
Are you so. Truly the coolest kid there?
I'm one of them.
Are you? What do you make out of the gun show here today?
Hey, we had to get a little work in this morning.
Yeah, we
just came from a workout.
Oh, I see. I see. This has nothing to do with look at where I'm at now.
No.
Yeah.
The grind doesn't stop.
Who benches more?
Look at him.
Me.
That's not a fair question.
By like how much more?
Probably around 100
Come on,
pounds.
About 100 pounds more?
I throw footballs. I don't bench.
Who throws a football further?
He might be able to, honestly.
I got
an arm. Yeah?
Don't let it surprise you.
How far could you throw a football?
Maybe 60 plus.
Yeah. I mean, where are you at on that?
Around there, 65.
Yeah? Yeah. What, in all seriousness, what does it mean to have him coming here, or not here, to Texas A&M to be with you? You recruited him pretty hard, I would think.
Yeah. I mean, he knows the whole way around that. I mean, we took one of our first visits, the first visit he ever took, was to A&M with me, which was like one of my second or third visits. And ever since then, I knew I fell in love with it. I wasn't sure his feelings on it, but I recruited him the whole way since then. And really, it's just I wanted him to make the right decision for himself, but I knew him coming there would be awesome for him.
How's it been?
It's been awesome. It just, you know, everything that he said, you know, when we first went out there, when I was a sophomore, my first ever visit, I didn't even have an offer. I just wanted to go out there and, you know, see what it was like. And, you know, one thing I really remember was we went on the field and we were looking at the field and we could tell, like, this was just a special place, a special stadium. And, you know, we got on the golf cart and he looked at me. He's like, man, this place is real. Like, I could, you know, I could really see myself going to this school. And, I shook my head too. Like, yeah, there's just something about it. Something about the field of Texas A&M. When they say, it, you know, it's the spirit of Aggieland, it really is. It's just a different feel than you get from any other school, and I never got that feel from any other school that I visited in the recruiting process. So even when I got there, that's been consistent. Love the place. I couldn't see myself going anywhere else.
We're going to talk about the SEC on the other side and the difference between SEC ball and Pac-12 ball and just some football-related stuff. I'm getting some questions shot over to me as well from fans out on Twitter. In studio, we have Kyle Allen, the quarterback at Texas A&M, and we have Christian Kirk, the wide receiver, one of many at Texas A&M. That's on the other side, the two local kids making good away from Arizona on Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmann. All right, let's continue on here in studio. Kyle Allen with us, quarterback Texas A&M, Christian Kirk, wide receiver Texas A&M, formerly both high school stars here in Arizona, ASU and Texas A&M open up the season first part of September. When you have competition in the Southeastern Conference, now that you've been through it, was it more than you expected on a week-by-week basis? Kyle, take me through that from your view.
Yeah, I mean, just the amount of games obviously is more than you play in high school. You play a 12-game regular season, and your conference schedule is in the SEC West is unreal. I mean, you go from one week you'll be playing Mississippi State, which at one time was the number one ranked team in the country. The next week you'll be playing Ole Miss, who beat Alabama when they were ranked number one. Then the next week we play Alabama, and it's just you think you're like, all right, maybe we'll get a break this week, and then you look at your schedule, you'll be like, geez, we got Alabama this week. It's just ongoing, and it's like it's really you have to focus your mind. You have to have a lot of discipline and a lot of focus in the season to not get carried away and stuff like that. You got to focus in, and or else you're just going to lose games like we did this year when we went on a stretch and lost three games by a lot of points.
How do you handle the mental fatigue of it? You touched on it just a little bit.
You know, it's just a lot of – I mean, there's not really one way to handle it. It's the way I did it was just – kind of sit back and take some time to myself on the weekends, like on Sundays, just not focus on football at all. You know, I'll go in and watch the film of the game like two or three times, and then after that I just put it away and say, look, you need to chill. Like, you got practice on Monday anyways, just take the rest of the day and take it off, or else you're just you're just going to over-fatigue and it's just going to wear on you.
You went through an interesting year last year. Mm-hmm. And you weren't the guy, then you were the guy. How did you handle that? Because you've always been the guy.
Yeah, and it was tough, I'm not going to lie. The first couple games of the year, you know, I was excited. I was like, it's all right. Kenny played really well in that first game. And I got some times. We had some lower teams that weren't as good, and so I got some time to play, and I was excited about that. But once we started getting into the meat of the season, you know, it started to wear on me a little. I started to just kind of get tired of sitting on the bench, you know, because like you said, I was the guy all the time. But for me, it was always giving my best in practice to give looks and just letting the coaches know that I'm not going anywhere. I'm here to get the starting spot, and if he slips up, I'm there. And I think they saw that and they trusted in me and gave me the job halfway through.
How does it work then when you go through another recruiting cycle and there's always people that are being brought in to play at quarterback behind you? I mean, competition's part of the deal. It's a new ball game for you, I would think.
Yeah, and, you know, this offseason we really didn't have a I was the only scholarship quarterback there at that point. And, you know, this offseason, so it was a lot of me pushing myself, which is it's a lot harder than you think it is. You know, you got to stay motivated and push yourself, because if you do bad, it's not like there's consequences, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think once we get more scholarship quarterbacks in here, it's honestly, I like it better, because it'll have more competition, more motivation for me to get better, and there's just a little fire that burns inside of me when there's competition.
There's a lot made when Kyler Murray came on board. There's a junior college transfer that came in last week. Every time I see a move there, I think of your situation. How do you respond to all of that that's going on the roster?
Yeah, I mean, it's just like I said, it's just more competition. You know, it's more motivation for me to work harder. And, you know, I'm working hard all the time, and that's kind of my motto is don't get outworked, because if I'm going to lose, I'm not going to lose because I got outworked. I'm going to lose because someone's just more naturally talented than me. So, you know, if there's more people there, I'm going to work harder. And I just love competition, so it'll be fun.
What do you tell him about this? Have you talked to him about it?
Because about what?
About competition coming in at his position. You know, he's no longer Christian Kirk, BMOC at Saguaro High School that everybody in the state knows about. I'm not saying he's just another guy, but you know what I mean by that, that he's now with a lot of guys that were BMOCs.
Right, right. And he knew that. He knew that coming in. He went to so many schools like Auburn and schools like Ole Miss where they have tons of receivers across the board, and then he went to A&M where he had tons of receivers across the board, and that didn't scare him, and he came in at A&M, and that kind of told me something, that he doesn't care who's there. He's going to work, and he trusts his talent, he trusts his worth ethic to know that he's good enough to be the best there. And I think he showed that this spring, that he's one of the best on our squad already, taking a leadership role and working hard, and he's working harder than anybody there. You know, he's out there working, getting extra film on the weekends, getting extra film on the weekdays, getting extra work in the indoor when no one else is out there. And so he just kind of takes that role. I think he's taking that role beginning in high school, and it's just kind of carried over to college. And other receivers on our team have seen that and kind of adapted to what he's doing too. So he's becoming a leader.
Christian Kirk, how did it go for you, spring ball?
It went really well. The first 2 weeks, you know, it was a little tougher for me, obviously having to adjust to the speed and everything, obviously just coming straight out of high school. You know, and like he said, all the work that I had to do outside and by myself, I felt was needed, and I felt was the only way I could, you know, be up there and play with the level of these guys that had been there for 2 to 3 years and compete and, you know, vie for a starting position. So those first 2 weeks, you know, was a real grind for me. You know, I had to do everything that I could to, you know, show the coaches, you know, what I can do and, you know, what they saw during recruiting. And then, you know, we had a week off for spring break, got to come home, you know, be around my family, get my mind off of it, because, you know, my mind had been going. And then, you know, once we came back, you know, for the last 2 to 3 weeks, I felt like I really excelled. I felt like that's when I was able to separate myself, and you know, the speed of the game really slowed down for me, and I was able to do what, you know, I was normally able to do, especially after the catch. Everything was, you know, in the routes and stuff like that wasn't as hard, but, you know, once I got the ball in my hands, you know, just seeing people and, you know, just becoming natural with the ball in my hands, it got much better for me.
Did you feel pressure initially?
No, I didn't feel much pressure really. You know, I feel confident in what I can do really. And, you know, I just felt like I just had to go out there and play my game. If I tried to go out there and do too much and, you know, do stuff that I've never done before, then, you know, I felt like, it probably would have set me back a little bit, but I didn't feel much pressure. Really.
Strictly wide receiver. You got to play teams, defense, just wide receiver, and that's it.
They have me as a wide receiver, obviously, right now. Then punt return and kickoff return, you know, repping in. And, you know, we'll see what Coach Spaff can dial up if there's a package for me to go in the backfield or wherever. He's an offensive genius. So, you know, we'll see what comes along before the season.
You'll be on the field against ASU. I've had some fans that have asked me that. And I was like, yes, he's going to be on the field against ASU, I would imagine. But I'm not there, so yes?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir, yes, sir.
Kyle, let's go back on the ASU angle for both of you, but I want to start with Kyle on this. And actually U of A as well. What needs to change? And this is not meant as a shot. It's just a fact. There's still kids that become young men that say, I'm going to leave the state. And every year I hear the same angle, and I've heard it for 25 years being here in Arizona. Brad, what do we have to do better to keep kids here? And I think some players just need to get away from home.
Yeah.
There's always going to be that. Mm-hmm. But what is it, aside from that, that needs to happen here within the state for top flight players to stay?
Well, I think from what I've seen, it has gotten a lot better over the past year or two. And the year I was getting recruited was the first year that ASU really was kind of – marketing that stay home, like be the guy that stays home and reps your city and stuff like that. And so that was like kind of the first year, and they were really marketing it, and a lot of guys really didn't buy in because it was that first year and they hadn't seen people buy in before. Obviously Tyler Wiley bought in, mm-hmm. and you've seen some other kids buy in after that. But for me, it was a conference type deal. I wanted to play in what at that point in time was the best conference in the country, and I wanted to play against the best teams in the country every week, so I could showcase that, hopefully, and that will help my football career later on. Because for me, I think NFL looks at what the best conference is, as you see every year. The SEC gets the most kids drafted every year, so I don't think it's as much as a school type deal. I think the Pac-12 obviously showed out in the NFL draft this year and had the second highest drafted. It almost beat the SEC. They were in the first couple of rounds for a while, but I think as you see the progress these schools are making, obviously, U of A is getting a lot of in-state kids. ASU is starting to get a lot more in-state kids. And I just think that for a while, it wasn't a priority to get in-state kids. They were looking around the country a lot. They didn't think the talent in Arizona was good enough. But once they looked and really started recruiting hard, they see that the talent here excels. And they're starting to get more in-state kids. So the progress is happening. But, I mean, for me, and I don't know about Christian, it was just too early. For me, I just didn't see it enough, and I wanted to play in the SEC.
Because now you see Pac-12 South, and it's just as strong as SEC West, in my view. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think top to bottom, you look at both sides, they're pretty even. Mm-hmm. Your view on why, and not even for yourself, but just what will it take for these two in-state schools?
Well, I mean, I think my reasoning was almost the same as his. You know, just playing in the SEC was such a big factor for me, and you know, the thought of playing against the best every week was just really appealing to me, and that was, you know, mainly my reason. On top of, you know, what you said, you know, some kids just needed to leave home, and I felt like I just needed to leave home. I felt like, you know, I needed to grow as a man, experience new things, and just get out there. But I felt like when I was getting recruited by ASU, because I didn't get recruited by U of A much, actually, not too much at all, to be honest. But you know, with ASU, they did a really good job with me. You know, the thought of staying home and being the guy, and you know, especially winning a state championship, my last ever high school game, you know, in Sun Devil Stadium was a slight pull, because, you know, I was looking around, I was like, man, I could do this, I really could do this, and you know, just be the guy, and you know, be like DJ, because, you know, DJ's being so successful, you know, there, and you know, really happy for him. And it'd be really cool, because, you know, I know a bunch of guys would follow. But, you know, for me, I just felt like that wasn't my place. But, you know, for now, you know, I feel like ASU's doing a really good job. You know, talking to Byron and, you know, those guys, you know, with you know, just talking, you know, how is ASU doing, you know, recruiting you and stuff like that. You know, they say they love the staff, they love the school, everything about it. So, you know, I don't think they're doing a bad job necessarily. I just think it's up to us kids, you know, just whatever we want. If it's not what we want, if it's not what we feel, then, you know, you can't dock a kid off of that. You can't. And, but, you know, for me, in my standpoint, I feel like ASU is doing a really good job with, you know, really being, you know, recruiting these guys hard and, you know, trying to, you know, have them stay home and play for Sun Devils.
Kurt Warner is working out over Desert Mountain. Are you working out with him?
I'm not. I went over to the Desert Mountain practice the other day just because I'm real close with a lot of coaches over there, and I'm close with one of his son's friends, and so I went over there and talked to him for a while, and it's funny. They just say every time he shows up at practice, because he's got other stuff to do with NFL Network,
sure,
but every
sure.
time he's over there at practice, there's always three or four cameras out there just on him, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's really cool that those kids have a chance to learn from someone as great as him. I mean, I don't think they realize that he is one of the NFL legends. I mean, I see, turn on the NFL Network, and there's shows on him all the time about mm-hmm. him playing in his days at the Rams and stuff like that. And I don't think they realize it because he is such a genuine guy, and he is such a down-to-earth person that he doesn't big-time anyone. He's out there working with these 14, 15-year-old kids like he's just some any other regular guy. But his wisdom and his knowledge, you can tell, is really helping those kids out, and you're going to see a lot of progress from them, more so than you probably would with any other coach. And I'm jealous that they get to work with him. I would have loved to work with him in my high school days.
You ever talk to him?
Oh, yeah. I talk to him all the time. I mean, when I was in high school, that's like my senior year, I think, was his son's for freshman year in high school. And so he started coaching there a little bit. And he was like learning our offense, and he had me and our offense coordinator over that at that time come over to his house and just talk ball for about 3-4 hours. And the dude can talk ball forever. And he
Kurt can talk.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing. There's
yeah.
no question.
But he's so smart, and he's just, like I said, he's just such an awesome person, a genuine person, and he's just looking to give back. And that's what the kids need at this point.
Who's the guy that has really poured themselves into you that has helped you out, Christian?
You know, I think, you know, for me right now, it's my trainer and Kyle's QB coach, Dennis Guile.
Yeah.
You know, he treats us like we're his sons, you know, mm-hmm. and he has a family off the field too, and you know, behind training us, but majority of the time he's spending all his time training us, and I mean, that's just where we came from. You know, anytime we want to go hit the field, hit the gym, you know, he's there, anything that we need. He's just such a genuine guy, and he's made us so much better. And, you know, I would just say, you know, if anybody were to go train with somebody, especially a quarterback, that's the guy you need to go to. I mean, I feel like he's one of the best in the Valley. And, you know, behind, you know, my parents, he's the next guy that has poured, you know, some of his blood, sweat, and tears into, you know, helping me become successful and believing in me and, you know, just always encouraging me and telling me that he's there for me. So I would say that, you know, that's a guy, definitely a guy. A
couple other questions, we'll let you go. When you're watching NFL football on Sunday, who do you have to see? Who's the guy at your position you have to watch?
Tom Brady, the best.
And what do you make out of Deflategate then as a Tom Brady fan?
I think that it's a major overreaction, and it's going to leave an asterisk on one of the greatest seasons in NFL history for Tom Brady. And mm-hmm. I think it's deflating a football of about like maybe 2 centimeters, and Tom Brady in that game put up an offensive clinic and put up an offensive clinic in the game before against the Ravens and against the Seahawks. And I think Tom Brady doesn't really care about Deflategate. I think he is fine with winning a Super Bowl, and whatever the truth is, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. I think Tom Brady has made a case for one of the best quarterbacks of all time.
But he's your guy.
Most definitely.
Poster on the wall guy.
Yeah, just by the way he plays his games. Him and Aaron Rodgers, I think, are my two favorite guys who play the game. Like, just the way they play the game, just how cerebral they are and how smart they are with their before-the-snap checks and their eyes down the field, how they work safeties. And I remember Spav, Coach Spav, our OC at A&M, telling me something about Aaron Rodgers, because he goes up to the Packers and just like meets with them to get offensive
sure.
stuff. And he was telling me that Aaron Rodgers told him once that he could see about a half foot of separation between his receiver and the DB from as much as 50 yards away.
Hmm.
And he said when he said it, he was so confident about it that he made Spav believe it. And I don't know if he can or not, but I believe it from some of the crazy throws he makes. So just the way that they play the game and how much work they put into the game is really why they're my favorite.
Sunday morning, game comes on. Sunday afternoon, who do you have to watch?
I don't think it's just specifically one guy for me. I would say it's about 3 guys. And I try to watch guys that are pretty much close to me. Mm-hmm. Guys like Antonio Brown, T.Y. Hilton, and then, you know, you have to go with Odell Beckham because he's arguably the hottest receiver.
On the cover of Madden?
Yeah, he's the hottest receiver in the NFL right now. Yeah. And not only because, you know, he made one catch. Those guys are all-around receivers. They all can play outside. They all can play inside. They all can do jet sweeps, whatever you want them to do. And, you know, I try to model my game after, you know, be versatile. You know, don't be the one-dimensional guy. Always be the guy that can do, you know, whatever coach asks you to do. Coach asks you, go kick a field goal, go kick a field goal. You know, and I feel like, you know, any of those guys can do that, and they're all just so dynamic. So I would say those three guys, you know, are the guys that I'm watching.
How's school?
It's good.
What are you majoring in?
I'm in the business school right now. I haven't declared a major, but, you know, I'm trying to take that route and, you know, kind of just, you know, feel it out. You know,
sure.
I took a, you know, a couple of gen ed classes, you know, this semester, and it wasn't too hard for me. I felt like it went real good. They give you so much help there with study hall and your learning advisor, stuff like that. It's, they make it so easy on you.
Football ends tomorrow. What do you do?
Ooh, football ends tomorrow. I think I'll probably sit at home and cry for cry for a whole day.
But the point is the major. What would you see yourself doing with it?
You know, obviously, maybe being, you know, entrepreneur in the business field. You know, starting my own company, be a CEO, and
Come on over here. It's great.
Right.
It's fun. It's fun.
Somewhat in a you know, top management position, and you know, just, you know, my dad owns his own company, and you know, I think it's really cool to you know, start up your own business and just do whatever you love.
Yeah. What about you? How's school?
You know, it's same as him. It's good. I'm in business school. Hopefully, declaring finance major soon. Something that my dad's an accountant, my brother's an accountant. I talked to my dad a lot about that stuff. He told me I really love finance, so hopefully I get in that soon. I mean, me and him are just taking lower level classes at this point, so we haven't really gotten into anything specific and deep, but hopefully I can get into that.
Jumping out of any planes? Last time you were here in the studio, you're skydiving. How's that going?
You never know. I might.
Never know.
Me and Luke got into some jumping out of plane business, so maybe I'll hit him up.
Never know.
Maybe get this guy in. He's a little too scared though.
No.
Can't do it?
You will not see me jump out of a
plane. Can't do it?
You will not see me jump out of a plane.
Well, if you got to be his roommate, I mean, that's as scary as it gets, right?
Right.
It's scary
Calm
enough.
Down.
Appreciate you guys both coming in, and we'll see you down the road. We're going to be at the game down in Houston in September.
Awesome.
We'll do our thing down there. So.
Oh, sweet.
Good,
sir.
Good visiting with both of you.
Thanks.
Yep. Christian Kirk, Kyle Allen in studio, the Texas A&M guys, the connection back in the Valley for about a couple of weeks. Appreciate both them in studio. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. We partner with the Arizona Republic. I'm Brad Sussman.
For original, in-depth Arizona sports news you care about, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.